You're listening to Marketplace Weekend. He was known as America's pastor.
You either have to decide that you're going to serve the gods of materialism all around us, or the true and the living God.
The Reverend Billy Graham spent more than six decades preaching the gospel and was buried Friday in North Carolina. During his life, he built a vast network of evangelical Christian churches, groups, media, and businesses.
In terms of him building the business side, I think a lot of that is about his ability to be an individual entrepreneur to develop an institution underneath his public speaking and preaching and all of that.
That's Richard Flory, Senior Director of Research and Evaluation at the University of Southern California's Center for Religion and Civic Culture. Graham's financial legacy includes two nonprofit organizations. One of them, Samaritan's Purse, raised $680 million in revenue in 2016.
There were the multifaceted arms of what he did. There was this educational component that was helped to sort of support the preaching aspect that he went on. So it wasn't just that people sent money so Billy Graham could travel the world and preach, but the money that they were able to raise from people, as well as what other means they had to raise support, went into other aspects of his ministry, which were largely educational, and as well there was some social outreach, kinds of helping the poor and things like that they did.
Billy Graham's evangelical empire was primarily focused on bringing people towards his mission, but a lot of times that came with money, a call for donations, and people choosing sometimes to turn over entire businesses to this mission. And I wonder how Billy Graham affected the flow of money in the evangelical community.
On the one hand, these are businesses. On the other hand, they're completely supported by people who believe in the mission of them. And the same would be true for Billy Graham. So if people that supported him financially had a commitment to the kind of mission that he was pursuing, primarily a preaching mission, a preaching of Christian salvation and things like that. But he also had outreach kinds of programs through media and helping less advantaged people and things like that. So I think that to me, it's a question of scale rather than type. So because he's such a transcendent figure, he's not just a local operator, his efforts end up attracting a much broader range of supporters, perhaps, than the local church might.
But whenever there is a lot of money involved, there's often a concern about corruption and how these funds are being used. How is the financial transparency in the evangelical church maintained?
Well, you're right to bring that up, that there has been a long history of that concern. And in fact, in the 70s and 80s, there were certain televangelist scandals that had to do with this corruption and misuse of money. Organizations have sprung up that actually evangelical groups can become members of, and they have certain sorts of accounting practices, transparency practices, and the like that help to keep them away from those kinds of temptations, I guess you could say. And I think, too, the larger organizations are more able, that have a more robust system built into the for their activities like that, are more likely, or less likely, I suppose I would say, to be less transparent. The temptation comes when there's less oversight and when there's one or few people that are running the show, as it were. Billy Graham and his organization has always had a system built in, as any good business would. And, you know, there are groups out there where they're, you know, one or two people are really calling all the shots. And that, I think, they have a much higher likelihood of misusing money. Whether they do or not is another question, because of the lack of accountability more broadly to their boards and to the people that support them.
With Billy Graham's passing, what do you see as the financial future of the evangelical church?
Well, evangelicalism has a demographic problem right now, and that has to do with declining numbers. There's some dispute over this, particularly if you're inside of evangelicalism. You'll hear people say there's not a decline, but the demographic numbers from outside are that it's shifting. There are fewer people. They're losing the members across different kinds of groups. Some are growing, and that's a problem because their support comes from the people in the pews or the people that go to their schools, things like that. And as that number dwindles, then you're going to have a harder time to support those ministries. So it's hard in the longer term. My hunch is there's going to be some retrenchment and reduction in the kinds of institutions that are out there that can just simply make it as a business. Of course, that remains to be seen how that works out.
Richard Flory is Senior Director of Research and Evaluation at the USC Center for Religion and Civic Culture, and he also co-authored The Rise of Network Christianity. Thank you so much.
Thank you.